This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Time to Suit Up.
She was just 8 years old when her father, a pastor, walked out on her mother, leaving her mom with five children. When she was 12, she had a life-changing spiritual encounter when she accepted Jesus into her heart. From that time forward, her family could see a deep and growing spiritual depth developing in her life. She broke up with her boyfriend that she loved in order to keep herself chaste. Later, she was rejected by five of her closest friends for talking openly about Jesus. She wrote in a diary, quote, I have no more personal friends at school, but you know what? It's all worth it to me. If I have to sacrifice everything for Jesus, I will. On April 20th, 1999, Rachel Scott sat outside the cafeteria when two troubled students armed with guns came up the stairs at Columbine High School. They opened fire, hitting her three times. After leaving to find more victims, they returned to where Rachel lay, crying in pain. One of them lifted her head by the ponytail and jeered, Do you believe in God? And she answered, yes. He put the gun to her temple and killed her. When the time came for Rachel to put her faith on the line, she was prepared to pay the ultimate sacrifice. What about you? What about me? What would I do? It takes courage to be a Christian in the 21st century. You'll hear kids tell you, it's not cool to be a Christian. A Christian? Why, if you tell people in high school that you're a Christian or in university, you'll probably get some kind of a nasty remark, or people will laugh at you. They say, how could you be so dumb? How could you be so backward? How could you believe that stuff? Reports say that Christians around the world are being martyred for their faith in this century more than at any other time in the history of the church. In America, we don't face that kind of deadly, harsh persecution that we see in the Middle East or we see in Africa or China. Ours is a kind of soft persecution. The things that people say, the way in which we are discouraged from speaking our faith, the way in which when we do speak up, we are demonized and marginalized, the things that we see kind of incrementally happening in our society and in our culture. We see that any public display of our Christian faith is being stripped away. Ten Commandments, gone. Ten Commandments hanging in high school was par for the course when I was in Brooklyn, New York, and going to public school. Reading from the Psalms was par for the course in public school. Question, have things gotten better in school since then? Is there a connection? Say Jesus' name in a prayer. I was in one place where I was asked if I would have a public prayer, and I was basically kind of said to me, that, you know, don't pray in Jesus' name. I said, I don't pray. Unless I pray in Jesus' name. Oh, okay. Nativities being banned, religious speech and expression being criticized, our biblical faith is routinely ridiculed, marginalized, and demonized. Make no mistake, we are in a spiritual battle striking at the heart of our faith. And the Apostle Paul warned the church that we are at spiritual war, and he used that kind of militaristic speech, which people don't really want to hear. He kind of said it's a war, and let me give you ways in which he expressed that, and in a way the scripture speaks to the fact that we are in a war. Hebrews 2:10, Paul writes that our leader, Jesus Christ, is referred to as the captain. Exodus 15:3 says that captain is a man of war. 1 Timothy 2:3 says that his troops will end your hardness. And 2 Timothy 2:3 and 2 Timothy 4:7 that says that as good soldiers, we will fight a good fight. I thought I heard in that song that you sang that there was a phrase about being a good soldier. A good soldier. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I'll be a good soldier. In 2017, we face four kinds of battlefields. Number one, attacks from the world system. Attacks from the culture, attacks from the educational system, attacks from the people around us. Secondly, attacks from life circumstances. Again, those places where in your life you feel like you're just getting attacked. Every time you turn around, it's something else. Have you ever felt like that? It's just something else coming down on me. Just feels like the load gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Sometimes when you're under attack in life circumstances, they just keep piling on. Thirdly, attacks from within ourselves. When we feel that we are the worst Christian that ever walked the face of the earth, and Satan, number four, Satan's attacks use that guilt and use that kind of stuff to get us off track. If anything, Satan wants to keep you on the defense. The world wants to keep you on the defense. Circumstance wants to keep you on the defense. It wants to keep you focused on the negatives. It wants to keep you leading with your fear. Don't lead with your fear. Lead with your faith. Paul writes that God provided the believer with spiritual resources which will enable us to have victory in these kinds of spiritual warfare. In effect, what our text this morning says, it's time to suit up. Men, it's time to suit up. Women, it's time to suit up. Young people, it's time to suit up and really get onto the battlefield. Let's stand for the reading of the scripture this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Verse 10, thank you, may be seated. Verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power and his power. Be strong in the Lord, be strong in his power. Be strong in the Lord for service to Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord to face suffering. Be strong to fight whatever it is that Satan throws at you. Sometimes when we're going through hard times, we're having a pity party at the same time. We're thinking this is such a terrible thing. It may feel like a terrible thing, but this thing God can use to strengthen you. This thing God can use, this negative feeling can be turned into a positive outcome. The pastor, George Mueller, a wonderful man of God who started a number of orphanages, would often have situations where there was absolutely no food, and he was going through a difficult time. The kids were starving. They had no more bread. They just finished their last bread last night, and all of a sudden, somebody would come knocking on the door from the bakery. Somebody gave us an order, and they canceled. Here's bread. He'd be praying for milk because there was no milk. And when he stopped praying for milk, he heard a noise out front of the door of the orphanage. He'd go outside and the milk truck just broke down. And the guy said, I got to get rid of this milk because if I don't, it's going to spoil in the heat. Guess where it went? To the orphanage. What kind of faith is that? Pastor George Mueller said, to learn strong faith is to endure great trials. Whomever God will use greatly, he will hurt deeply. We don't like it. I don't like it. But remember, there's something to learn from every hardship and every circumstance that comes into our lives. None of us possesses within ourselves the strength to wrestle with the challenges of life without the strong arm of the Lord. You have, as an individual, a strength quotient. You've got just so much faith and so much willpower and so much strength all on your own. But that strength on your own has a natural limit. And when you have reached that limit, guess what? But God. There he is. When you feel like you're at the absolute edge of your fingertips and the next step is over the abyss, but God will make a way. When you're at the end of your strength, that's when God's strength takes over. Knowing and believing we are connected to God's power supply allows us to face all of life's challenges with confidence. Knowing that it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by his Spirit, says the Lord, and that we will prevail and we will pass through the storm. I know it's hard to remember that. I know it just feels so bad going through this time. But listen, and I love this little quotation. It says, smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. Smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. In other words, if you really want to learn how to negotiate the difficult, rough seas of life, you're going to have to go through some of them. But when you come out, you're going to be better able at dealing with them. You don't see it. You don't know it at the time because you're too busy treading water. We are learning as we go that circumstances and hard times may bloody us, they may scar us, but with His strength that never fails, we will not be bowed and we will not be broken. Verses 11 to 13, God tells us it's time to get suited up for battle. You don't have to head to Cabela's, by the way, to get on this stuff. It's not that kind of warfare. God is pulling material off His heavenly shelves that fit you and fit the circumstance. Paul writes, this armor will enable you to stand when Satan attacks. And you know, his attacks are very interesting. They're all planned. They're planned attacks. And their objectives are to tear you down. Their objectives are to deceive you, to entrap you, and to enslave you. You see what it's like when you're yielding to temptation. You know, some of these things that start out real small eventually become habits, and those habits will define you for the rest of your life. Think about the young person who takes the first cigarette. Maybe some of you were smokers in your life. You took that first cigarette, and after a while, you couldn't stop. Think about that first drink of hard liquor, and you got to the point where you realize you're addicted to it. Think about that person who takes painkillers, thinking that these are going to help, and eventually they're habituated to those things. And we have a great problem with that here in New Jersey, where these kinds of medicated, prescription medications are now addicting people. It takes that first one. And God will give you the strength to overcome that first one and not take that second one. But you see, that's the way Satan works. He deludes you. He deceives you. He enslaves you. He never enables you. Paul says, no matter what bulldozes down on you, you can stand and you can withstand. Don't withdraw. Don't slide back. Don't give up. Whatever is facing you that seems insurmountable, God has allowed you to face. Who brought this to me? God allowed it to happen. God allows you to be dealing with this right now to prove a point. Many points. That between you and He, you can get through this. He didn't send you into the face of this lion alone. He placed you in your circumstance and He stands with you until the end. So, don't give ground. This is a battle. Don't give ground to your fear. Don't give ground to your anger. Don't give ground to your disappointment. Don't give ground to your discouragement. Don't give down to your sorrow. Don't give down to your pain. And don't give ground to Satan. It's time to fight back. Your armor consists of six pieces. A loin covering, which is defensive and protective. A breastplate, also defensive. Shoes or boots, defensive. A shield, defensive. A helmet, defensive. A sword, offensive, for conquest. So let's take a look at each, because you're saying to yourself, I don't get it. And you're right. You don't get it right now. Let's see if we can put some light on it. So let's look at the six as individual pieces. First of all, have your loins girt with truth. Loins are your body's core. A person's physical strength is in their core. You develop your core and the rest of you supports what's happening in your core. At a believing man or woman's core is truth and sincerity. So your body's core to help you get strong is physical and it's in your center. Your spiritual core is made up of truth and sincerity. Just as an athlete exercises to strengthen his core, so the believer is made strong by the truth of God's word. And how do you get stronger in God's truth, in God's word, to strengthen your core of belief? You go to the book. You go to the book. And then you study the book. You meditate on it. And then you practice. You put your faith into action. And then you pray. So it's seek, it's study, it's practice, and it's pray. As you do these things day by day, don't take holidays. Your core of spiritual truth will get strong to allow you to fight the battle. God's word, this book, will keep you from Satan, or Satan will keep you from this book. Now the choice is yours. Does this lay on a shelf someplace at home, or do you recognize this as part of your defense. Breastplate of righteousness, it says, number two. It allows us to do that which is morally right and just while protecting us from the devil's attempt to lure us into sin. The believer's righteousness is Jesus Christ's righteousness. It was given to us by God, and it's lived out according to what 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says. It is a breastplate of faith and love. Jesus says in Matthew 26, verses 36 to 39, that we must love God and our neighbor with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. When we have that kind of love, it creates a mindset for us to do what's right. How could you cheat the people you love? How could you lie to the people you love? How could you commit adultery to the person, the man or woman that you love? How could you steal from the person that you love? How could you kill or hurt or maim the person that you love? You see, love allows you to keep those commandments. Love is primary. God's love. Number three, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And basically what Paul is saying to every one of us is that the believer has to get up off the couch of ease and comfort. That sense that, well, I don't want to tell anybody about Jesus because I don't want to be ridiculed. I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want to be looked at as somebody who's so different. Kids don't want to be different. Nobody wants to stand up for everything, for something that everybody's against. He's saying it's time for us now to stand up. We complain as Christians an awful lot about bad news and fake news, right? Well, how about some of us getting up and taking responsibility to report the good news? How about we replace all the fake news and the bad news with the good news of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ came into the world to bridge the gap that exists between Father God and His creation? How about we spread the good news that there is a way to overcome your guilt feelings? How about there is a way in which to feel good about yourself finally because your sins are forgiven? How about the good news that Jesus has not left us alone in a world where everybody feels so cut off from other people? How about the good news that Jesus loved so much that He gave everything for us? And ask the question, has anybody ever loved you like that? How about the good news that life doesn't end when you die, but that it goes on for eternity, and we have the opportunity to share something wonderful in the life hereafter? All of those promises are true. It's time to stand up and report the good news. It's time to show and tell. Live your life in such a way that when people see you, they'll know that there's something different about you, and when they ask, tell them. Number four, the shield of faith. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him that believes. Often Satan's attacks are subtle. Paul calls them fiery darts. They're like the quick shots of doubt that you get, or the quick shots of anger that you get, or that quick shot of temper, which hits the mark and spreads through us like poison. Your greatest protection, your greatest shield against these kinds of attacks by Satan is faith in Jesus Christ, faith in Scripture, faith in prayer. Paul writes, take up your shield, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. Resist the enemy, let your faith go to work. I like this little saying, doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? And faith answers, I. Who will stand for Jesus? You? Me? If we don't, then who will? But if we do, what impact will be felt in our own community, in your family? Don't you want to see the people in your family, the people you love, your friends, don't you want to see them in heaven? Well, you can't be apathetic about that. You can't be nonplussed about that. You got to realize this is a battle for their hearts and their minds and their souls. And if you don't report the good news, all they're going to get is bad news and fake news and think it's true. Number five, the helmet of salvation. In the final analysis, all the spiritual battles we experience are battles over our heart and our mind. The entire world system wants to get into your head. I mean, do you realize that now with your Facebook page and all that other stuff, people are reading it? Now with your smartphone, every time you want to know about a particular product, you're going to get 25 follow-ups after that from products just like that. Don't you know that people are watching you and you don't realize it? Don't you know they're all doing things so that they can market products to you? They want to sell stuff to you. So they're going to track everything you buy and everything you consider buying. They want to know. So people are looking at you. The system wants to sell you something. The system wants to push a political agenda. The system wants to promote a secular worldview. The system wants to promote a philosophical perspective such as moral and religious relativism, which basically says what's true for you may not be true for me. In fact, what's true for you is not true for me. Therefore, whatever it is you believe, it's kind of relative. It's okay for you to have your opinion. Let me have my opinion. Like there's no truth. And the world doesn't believe in absolute truth. This book claims truth. And if you don't believe in absolute truth, you can't possibly believe this book. But you're not like that. You believe there's truth. You believe that Jesus is the truth. You believe God's word is truth. That's now it's time to tell the good news. That other stuff is fake news. In war, on the battlefield, soldiers are constantly reminded to keep their helmets on. I know that's what they told us in basic. And every time my helmet came off, I got hit in the back of the head with a rock. That's why I am the way I am today. You can recover from almost any gunshot to your body, but not a headshot. Once your brains are blown out, there's no coming back. The protection for our heads is defined in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the hope of our salvation. When you got saved, you knew that you were a sinner. You knew that there was only one way to have your sin forgiven and find peace with God, and that was by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, by confessing your sin and by asking the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and help you to live this new life. Knowing that you're saved, knowing how you got saved, having the assurance of your salvation, knowing you have a home in heaven for eternity, this knowledge, with all its implications, will protect your heart and your mind from false teachings, and it will give you confidence and boldness to face any of Satan's lies, because you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're Christ's kid. You know you're God's kid. You know that God's word is true. You may not know everything in the Bible, but you know the Bible is true for what it says, whether you know it or you don't know it. You have faith. I mean, you trusted him for eternity. Now trust him to believe his word. Number 6, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. The only offensive weapon in our personal spiritual battles. Whatever the battlefield, whatever the challenge, God tells us to pick up our sword. It's a sharp one. It's used in hand-to-hand combat. When you're face-to-face with somebody who says there is no God, you can say to them, give me three reasons why you believe there's no God. And you know what they'll say to you? Habit. I never thought of it. Then why did you say it? I can give you 50 reasons why I know there's a God, but can you give me 3 that says you know that there's no God? Nobody knows that. Somebody wrote, science has proven there is no God. Where's the proof? I've never seen that proof before, and I'll never see it because they can't do it. Science has proven how life came on earth. Oh, really? Science has not proven. Some of the latest theories are spacemen came from outer space and seeded the planet for life. You believe that? I got a lollipop for you. Come on, Jack. The believer is admonished not to use man's wisdom to defeat false teaching or apostasy. God has given us the word, and it's only the word that fights back. There's nothing more powerful against false teaching and Satan's lies than these words. It is written. It is written. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what God's word says. When you're armed with that sword, You are undefeatable. God says it will do the job. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 11 up here. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You share God's word with somebody, and there is a promise buried, ensconced deep within its recesses. And that is, you share the word, it will not go out and be unlistened to. It will be heard, and somehow or another, it will make an impact on the life of the hearer. I don't know what that impact is, but I know that there have been times when I've shared Jesus as a testimony to people, never knew what happened for years, only to come across them 20 years later, and they say, you know what? I'm a Christian now. And you say, how did that happen? Well, Bob, you planted the seed. But then again, somebody else watered that seed. And somebody later on came along and harvested that seed. I just want to do my part. I just want to encourage you today to do your part. There's a whole world out there being lost. It's the people you know. Here's what I'll tell you. Here's a proposition. Here's a challenge. Work on the people you know who are not saved. And later on, you can work on the world. Huh? Just work on the people you know right now who are not saved. Have the guts, the intestinal fortitude to be theological, to stand up for Jesus Christ and share his truth. Finally, verse 18 says, praying always. I like to think of what American Express used to say, don't leave home without it. Don't leave home before you've prayed. And in the course of your praying, put this in. Today, Lord, give me a divine appointment as I go on the battlefield to meet someone who doesn't know Jesus and to be able to stand up for him, to be able to stand firm in his truth. Never enter the battlefield, the school, the work, the social event without praying. You never know when the challenge will come, so bathe the day in prayer. Keep the lines of communication open to the captain of your salvation. You're suited up for battle. Now, go forward and fight. 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 And never, ever give up. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.